If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Really familiar verse for us here, and at the heart of this ministry, we take these verses very seriously here. Call this the Great Commission. Verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" And again, we call this the Great Commission. And I find it really interesting about God in our lives. He's always sending us somewhere. He's a sender. And and even if we're not physically going somewhere, He's got some place for us to go in our lives, things for us to do. And so He's the sender. But the problem is we have an enemy that tries to stop us. God wants us to go. He wants us to conquer, to overcome, to walk in victory. And then we have an enemy that wants to stop us and doesn't want us to walk in victory. So since the beginning of time, you go back to the garden, there's always been barriers, hindrances, obstacles in our way to fulfill God's plan for our lives. Now, the Bible has a word for these barriers, hindrances, and obstacles. Let's go over to Numbers chapter 13, and we'll find out what that is. You probably already know. But Numbers 13, verse 31, and remember the story here is where Moses was sending 12 spies into the promised land. Check my mic here. Got to have everything just right here. And they came back, and remember they came back with a good report and an evil report. Well, 10 folks came back with an evil report. So let's pick it up in Numbers 13, verse 31. "But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out." You ever had a bad report? "Saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants.'" And it's interesting, this is not what God told them. "And all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants." Everybody say giants. "Descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." So the Lord said for them to go into the promised land, commanded them to go, told them what it's going to be like. But the spies, these 10 spies, now Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit, but these 10 spies came back, and this was the report that they gave. And basically what they said to Moses, "We can't go where the Lord wants us to go because there's giants." Now, have you ever had that in your life? What is a giant? A giant may be a physical something, you know, in our body. A giant may be a issue in our finances. A giant may be a temptation. A giant may be a bad habit, otherwise known as sin. We like to say addictions or bad habits, but the Bible says sin. And in sin, really what the word sin means is miss the mark. That's what it means, miss the mark. God's got a target and we miss the mark. It may be a person. It may be people. It may be destructive thinking. A lot of things that can be giants. But what a giant is anything that is keeping you from advancing in God's plan for your life. That's what a giant is. Now, what's the big giant Bible story? David and Goliath. Very good. We've trained you well here. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel 17. Anybody want to slay some giants today? Anybody want to, you know, walk in that overcoming and victory that the Lord has promised us? But before I start reading some verses, let me give you some cliff notes. Tell you a little bit about the story before I get into the part that I want to read. There's two armies. There's the Philistines, which represent the enemy. There's the Philistines and there's the army of Israel. And they're faced off against each other. One on one mountain and one on the other. And in between the two armies is a valley. Now a champion from the Philistines, who is Goliath. Goliath would come out into the valley every day and taunt the army of Israel. Now he was quite a sight. He was about 9 feet, 6 inches. He was a very intimidating. I mean, that's a giant. That's an intimidating person. His armor, they called it mail, you know, weighed 125 pounds. The tip of his spear weighed 15 pounds. You ever been bowling? That's what I use when I bowl, 15 pounds. And I'm imagining trying to throw a spear that just the head of it's 15 pounds. Or to use it to, I mean, this guy is big, he's strong, he's bad. He's bad in so many ways. But then he's got a mouth on him. And he comes out every day and he taunts him and he challenges him. And he said, you know, I defy the armies of Israel. I defy you. And then he made this challenge to him. He said, you know, if you kill me, we'll be your servants. And if I kill your champion, you'll be our servants. And the Bible says that the army of Israel was afraid. It said dreadfully, greatly afraid. They weren't just a little, like, you know, nervous. You know how before you face doing something big, you may be nervous, and the commercial says you got to drink your Diet Coke. Ba-boom. Do I need to get another mic? We'll see what happens, okay? It wasn't about just being nervous. We're about to do something big. They were shaking in their boots. They were afraid. They were scared. And Goliath did this for 40 days. It wasn't just, one day or... Yeah, let me get another mic. It just wasn't one day. I mean, this was continually 40 days, almost 6 weeks. And see, that's what giants do, is they speak to you. They taunt you. They have a voice. It's more than just the situation, but what that giant's trying to do is bully you, intimidate you, paralyze you. And have you ever had that in your life? The giants have been so overwhelming, you couldn't do anything. And that's exactly where the enemy wants you to be listening to that voice. All right, so then we have, we'll bring David on the scene. David was the 8th son of Jesse. And so he's young. He's not as big as the other guys. The 3 oldest, the biggest, the strongest, are in Saul's army. David's big responsibility is to take care of the sheep, which as a pastor, that's a big responsibility. I know what that's like. But David's responsibility is to take care of the sheep. And, his father is concerned about his sons, and so he calls David in and says, I want you to take these 10 cheeses, maybe 10 cheese pizzas. Take these pizzas to your brothers, and then bring me back a report on how they're doing. And so David does it. David's, you know, obedient to his father and does that. And he goes to the army and he finds his brother and he hears the Goliath taunting the army. But then he also hears that King Saul has made a proclamation. Whoever kills the giant, he's going to give him riches. He's going to give him his daughter. And then his father's house won't have to pay taxes. That's a pretty good deal. That's a really good deal. And so David starts saying, you know, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And starts, you know, boasting he's going to be able to take the guy down. And then the brothers, what do? They get mad. Oh, David, you know, you just left your few sheep. You're just here to watch the battle. You're just here to antagonize us. All right, so you got the picture now? All right, let's pick it up. 1 Samuel, verse 31. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they were reported them to Saul. And he sent for them, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine. Don't you love that? And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine. What does that mean? He doesn't have a covenant with God. They have a covenant with God. God's on their side. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who has delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistines. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. You know, go and be killed. And we're going to run. He's got it all planned out already. We're going to sacrifice David here. So Saul clothed David with his armor. I mean, Saul himself is over 8 feet tall. He's head and shoulders above everyone else. He's really supposed to be the champion for Israel. So he puts this huge armor on David, clothed David with his armor, and put a bronze helmet on his head. And he also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And then David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. And then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for him 5 smooth stones from the brook. Everybody say 5 stones. And put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine, and so the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. See, there he goes, taunting, speaking. But then David said to the Philistines, you come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and of the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know there's a God in Israel. then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to David, to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. I love that. Then David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sank in his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of its sheath, and killed him and cut off his head. Is that not awesome? I mean, we could just quit right now. That is so awesome. What an amazing story. And this is what needs to happen to the giants in our lives. This is what needs to happen to the giant that you're facing today. So today I want to go over, and since David had five stones, I want to go over 5 points today to help you slay your giant. The first one is real simple. Identify your giant. What is the thing in your life that's holding you back? What is the thing or things in your life that's stopping you from fulfilling God's plan? And I think all of us probably know what those that thing or those things are. But you can't slay the giant until you identify it and acknowledge that it is a giant. But also, when you identify your giant, also do this. What's the reward for slaying this giant? David knew what his reward was. It was going to be riches. It was going to be marry the king's daughter. And it was going to be no taxes in his father's household. So behind every giant is a giant-sized reward. Whatever that thing that's holding you back, see, you have an opportunity. Instead of letting it taunt you, and instead of letting it harass you, you got to say, hey, okay, this is a giant, and what's my reward for taking this giant down? And one thing to remember about giants is that it's progressive. Take the least giant that you're facing. David had the lion, he had the bear, and then he met Goliath. So if you're here today, you've got 3 or 4, don't start with the most challenging one. Take the one that's the least, knock it out, and as you knock that one out, the confidence will build. Knock the next one out until you get to the big giant in your life. The second thing, the second stone that you need to know is feed your faith with God's promises. You're not going to go at any kind of giant without power, without something, a weapon. And the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not going to be your smarts. It's not going to be your good looks. It's not going to be your strength. It's going to be spiritual power that's going to take this giant down. Where does spiritual power come from? And we know this. It comes from the Word. It comes from the Word of God. That's why it's so important to be putting the Word in your heart on a daily basis. That's why it's so important to come to a Word-based church, to be hearing the Word. That's why it's important to have people in your life that speak the Word of God to you instead of doubt and unbelief. And then you got to spend time in prayer. There's giants that will not come down until you spend time in prayer. And as you do things, I mean, you may not be ready to attack your giant today, but as you begin to put the word in, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Power will begin to rise up. Faith will begin to rise up. Confidence in God. And what's going to happen is when you're doing this, you will realize God is with you and God will empower you. You're not on your own. You're not facing this situation on your own. Because the giant's going to speak to you and say, you know, greater is I'm greater than you. And you don't want to encounter him on your abilities. You want to encounter him based on God's, and see, God's ability. And David knew that. David had confidence in God. He'd already killed the lion and bear. He'd already had miracles. But his confidence wasn't in his abilities. And the word of God comes in and it makes a belief or creates a belief or strengthens a belief. Every time you're hearing the word, if you're listening and you're paying attention, it's forming beliefs. Beliefs, those are the things that make us strong. Those are the things that cause us to overcome. So the second stone, feed your faith from the word. You will not slay your giant until you see him slayed on the inside. Until you see it in here. Until you see victory in here. David knew what he had already before he went after his giant. All right, the third thing, the third stone, get your plan from God. Get your plan from God. David, when he went to face the giant, he had a plan. He didn't just kind of just do something, you know, just kind of just went out there and faced the giant and he's going to fight him or whatever. He had a plan. The Lord showed him exactly what he was to do. We need a plan. What is it that you're facing? And what's your plan? And I think for many of us, I think this is where we miss it, is we don't have a plan. What does it say in Jeremiah? For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. God's got a plan. God's got a way of victory. God's got a strategy. But you got to spend some time in prayer looking to him. And David found out you can't just follow someone else's plan. It's easy just to follow someone else's plan. But he tried on Saul's armor. And it was just too heavy. That wasn't going to work. He had his own plan. So you can talk to people. You can get counsel. You can get wisdom from others. And I do that all the time. But you've got to get a plan formulated by the Holy Spirit. And I think this is one of the parts why we don't see more giants. Because we're kind of just throwing out prayers. Kind of just hoping something will happen. Whereas God's a God of order. God's got strategies. He's got plans. And he's going to show you. What does it say? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge me and I will direct your paths. The steps of a righteous man are what? Righteous person ordered by the Lord. What's the plan? And, you know, in Habakkuk chapter 1, or is it chapter 2? Chapter 2 talks about the vision, writing the vision. I recommend writing it down. Write down your plan. All right, so you know what your giant is? You've fed your faith. You've written your plan down. Now comes the fun part. Run toward your giant with God's word in your mouth. There has to come a day when you say, I am so sick and tired of this situation. I'm so tired of this situation. I'm going to do something about it. And so you've got your faith built. You know what your plan is. But then you got to get up and execute your plan. And when you run, you got to get your spiritual heart rate up. You know, we go at things with just like, yeah, in the name of Jesus. And the enemy knows you're not serious about this. You're just playing some kind of game. You're just kind of going through the motions.
You know, there's a difference between in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave, as opposed to in the name of Jesus, I command you, take your hands off my family. Take your hands. You see what I'm saying? I mean, there's a intensity there. There's a passion. You got to run at your giant with faith, knowing he's going down. David said, in the name of the Lord. We say, in the name of Jesus. David said that the battle's already been won. You've already, I mean, you know, so many Christians, I mean, it's even like today when you see people, they just look so sad. And I understand that life is hard. But I'm telling you, you're not going to get victory by having a sad face. People just look defeated. How are you going to take down a giant looking defeated? And again, I mean, I've been there, but you just get beat down, and you get beat down, and you get beat down. And it's just like, I don't have anything. But I'm going to tell you, I mean, I wish I could do it. I can't defeat your giant for you. I can help you. I can encourage you. If I could do it for you, I would. But you've got to rise up. You've got to put the word in there. You've got to make a stand. You've got to get the... I can't even give you the plan. I try to give you the plan. I try to do it all for people, but I can't. You have to be the one to rise up. And if you don't run at your giant, it's not going to help me. I mean, it's not going to do any good for me to run at your giant if you're not running at him. I mean, you talk to people about situations and they haven't prayed. They don't have a scripture. They're not standing on anything. And then they want to come to me. And I'll do all I can, but they come to me wanting me to fix the problem when they're not doing anything about it. I hate it you're going through a trial. I hate it that you've got giants in your face. But there's got to come a day when you say, enough is enough. And with God's help, I'm going to do something about it. Now, you may be weak. You can get some people come and help you. But you've got to be the one to decide this giant is going down. And until you make that decision, it's not going down. Now you can say amen or oh me. Run towards your giant. Fill yourself up with God's word. See, you have a confidence. A boldness. He's going to give you. And see, what happens is when you realize it's not you. It's not in your great abilities. It's not in your strength. He's empowering me. He's giving me the plan. He's empowering me to run. But I've got to open my mouth. I've got to open my mouth. You know, in Malachi 3, it says that he rebukes the devourer for our sake, right? Talking about tithing. But you get over in the New Testament, he's given us authority to rebuke the devourer. How y'all doing today? I can't tell what's going on here. Huh? Don't worry about it. See the reality is the Lord's already defeated the giant. The Bible says the battle is the Lord's and the victory is ours. Really, our job is to show up. Our job is to show up. Our job is to be obedient. Our job is to open our mouth. None of that's hard to do. But the giant can get, again, the taunting, the words at night, late at night. You ever had those words? Just the assault on your mind. But then there's actual giants are actually standing there. I mean, the checkbook balance is standing there taunting you. I heard Norville Hayes say this. He was a preacher, a businessman. I really know what he was, but anyway. Norville Hayes would you know, he was looking at his bank balance or his ledger, and he had a negative balance. And so every day he'd look at it, and there was a negative balance. And he would bring that ledger out, and he'd say, This is a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. In the name of Jesus, I command money to come into this account. But see, you let that red just start speaking to you. It's going to tell, I mean, it's going to say, you're going down. Day after day, you're going down. See, if your confidence is in your bank balance, you're going down. You're not going to make it. This is it. You're down for the final count. You're not going to, you know, how many times do I hear people, I mean, you haven't seen as big a trial as I'm dealing with. Oh, you don't understand my trial. This is the granddaddy of, come on. Run toward your giant. Run toward your giant with victory. Now, and so you do those four things. You may add a couple things if you want. But you do those four things, your giant's going down. But there's a fifth thing you want to do. And this is for those that have already slayed the giant. The fifth thing, the fifth stone you need to do is you need to cut the head of the giant off. Cut it off. And it's interesting if, you know, and I'm not going to do it, Nate, but if I cut Nate's head off here. He doesn't have a voice anymore. It doesn't have a voice in my life. It can't speak to me anymore. And so there's things you might need to do after you slay. Let's just say it's debt. What do you have to do? Cut the credit cards up. You may have to say to some people that in your life that are bringing you down, I can't hang around with you anymore. Unless it's to witness to them. There may be even a place you're living, you're going to have to move because that place is tearing you down. I mean, I had to, I was on the 7-year plan in college. I don't recommend the 7-year plan, but it seemed like the 50-year plan. I was just like dropping classes and taking time off. But one day I just finally make a decision. I'm going to graduate. And so I attacked my giant, and which was graduation, and I'm going to finish. And so I made a decision. I don't care if I get an F minus. I'm not going to drop another class, and I'm going to continue to take classes until I'm finished. I just gave no room. I mean, maybe it is you got to cut off cable. Maybe you got to move the computer into the middle of the room where everybody can see it. Maybe you need to get rid of your cell phone. Maybe, I mean, I don't know what it is. I mean, but what's the thing that you can say, I'm going to cut the head off of this giant so it's not going to speak to you anymore. I mean, for me, I mean, I was, before I got saved, I mean, I was going out 5 times a week. Drinking, partying. And, you know, with the history of my family of alcohol and all that, I mean, it's not good. It's just not a good sign for me. Failing classes, all kind of things, you know. And so when I got saved, I said, I mean, I'm going to have to put this behind me. And so what I did the next week is I went back to the bar and went and ministered to everybody. No, I didn't do that. I didn't go back. I didn't go back because I didn't want to be tempted. And the guys that I was hanging out with going back to the bar, I had to cut off those relationships unless they were going to go for God. See, I mean, this is a good question. Are we really serious about slaying giants? I mean, that's really the big question. Are we kind of just playing at it, or are we really serious about it? Because, I mean, if you're wanting to go, and I'm going to, I mean, and I'm not wanting this to be in your life, but if you're going to go for the things of God, there's going to be giants. And it has to come to for a place you say, I want that more than I want this. And then to be serious about it. Now this is all about the individual that I was saying today. And as individuals, again, I can't slay your giant for you. But what would happen if we had a church of giant slayers? Let's look over in Acts chapter 4. I'm just going to read Acts chapter 4 every single week till we get it. See, the early church, they were united in slaying giants. Acts 4, verse 29. And this is my dream, and it seems impossible for this to happen, but I'm not going to give up on it. Acts 4, verse 29 says this, "Now, Lord, look on their threats. They were faced with obstacles. They were faced with giants. And they came together." And maybe that's part of the problem we have in the church is we're just a bunch of individuals today. I mean, that sense of community is really left, you know, and I'm not saying how great it was in the old days. It wasn't great in the old days either. But there used to be, I think, more of a sense of community than there is today. I mean, we don't know our neighbors. We don't know people around us. We don't want to get close to people. Kind of a bunch of individuals doing our own thing. But see, the early church didn't have that mentality. They came together. They were a community of faith. And they were for each other. And I'm just going to add this, just for whatever it's worth. They weren't just a bunch of whiners and complainers either. They came together over a purpose and a cause. It's so easy to criticize and to come against things. But where are the people that are bringing the solutions, that are bringing the answers? That's the kind of people I want to be hanging out with. I don't want to, and again, I'm open to constructive criticism, but until you walk in my shoes, I mean, why don't you come talk to me? Instead of complaining to everybody else and criticizing this and that, come talk to me. But, I mean, if we got a place where we're for each other, "Now, Lord, look on their threats. Grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." You see, they did things in the name of Jesus. It wasn't in their own power, in their own strength. "And when they had prayed, the place where they had assembled together was shaken. They were all filled." See, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you become a giant slayer. You're no longer the problem. You're taking down problems. You're no longer the problem. You have the answer, and the answer is Jesus. "They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." David was bold. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're bold. A boldness comes on. We've got to be praying that for each other. I'm just going to get loud, wake you up. Knock that off. Don't you like being around bold people? Don't you want to be around people that are passionate? We're bold. We're strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We got the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. God lives in us. And why are we shrinking back in fear? Why are we so intimidated? Why are we so paralyzed in fear? Why are we going backwards and not going forward? We're emboldened. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Don't let that giant... Tell that giant to go to hell. Tell him to go to hell. Now the giant, don't tell that to people. Unless the Lord. See, we read this, and boy, that was them. Then that was them. They turned the world upside down. But see, you know, the gifts have passed away. There's no longer any miracles. Tongues aren't for today. All these things to weaken us, to say, to justify why we don't have power. Aren't you tired of that? All the reasons why we can't do things. But these people believed they could do something. And they came together. And they rallied together. And they prayed for each other. And they expected not only the giants they were facing as a group, but they expected that for their brothers and sisters, for giants to come down in their lives. What kind of atmosphere would we be coming in here today if we just expected every time we go, giants just falling all over the place? Heads just rolling down the aisle. I'm telling you today how to get ahead in life. I had to wait for the right time. I don't know if that was the right timing or not. Keep on reading. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Impossible, right? Can't happen. Not today. It's passed away. I'm just going to keep on dreaming. I'm going to keep on dreaming. I'm going to keep on looking to the Word. I'm going to keep on feeding on this. I'm going to keep on getting this in my heart and keep on speaking it and calling it in. And you know what? You do those things, it's going to happen. See, this isn't a one-man show here. This isn't about one family. This isn't about an individual. This is about a body. And God's got a plan for this body. And I'm going to do all I can to make that plan come to pass. And I'm going to add my faith to that. And I'm going to be contribute to that. And I'm just encouraging you in the middle of all the chaos to do the same thing. But see, when it gets exciting is when, let's just say, a giant goes down in Tony's life. God's been doing a whole bunch in Tony's life. But you don't want to know what, Tony? I get more excited about a giant going down in your life than I do in mine. See, that's where it gets exciting, when you're for each other. Believe in God for that. For each other. It's not about individuals. What's God doing here? One heart, one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own. They had all things in common. You see the unselfishness there? Attitude of being a blessing. And then now look, in this kind of environment, look what happens. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace, everybody say great grace. Great favor, great ability, great power was upon them all. And nor was there anyone among them who lacked. Can you imagine the day when we come in here and there's no lack? Woo! Boy, I mean, that's just going to take some building of your faith. That this is a no-lack zone. When people come in here, there is no lack. I'm going to dream. I've got a dream. Well, let me finish it. For all who were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold. So today we talk about taking down giants. Who's going to take down some giants? Who believes they can with God's help? Shirley, I want to just speak to you. You are an amazing person, faithful, precious lady, woman of God. I just want to speak this to you by the Spirit of God. Giants are coming down in your life and in your family's life. And I declare that and I speak that in the name of Jesus. The devil is a liar. Hallelujah. It's time. It's time, guys. And I know it's been tough. I know there's been some tough things happening. But I'm telling you, we can't wallow down in the gutter here. We've got to go to the Word and go to the Lord and maybe talk to each other. But let that faith begin to rise, that confidence begin to rise, and begin to start speaking what we believe. And when we do that, we believe, therefore we speak. Our world will change. It's got to change. The enemy's got to bow his knee to the name of Jesus. And his stealing and killing and destroying that's going on amongst us, it's got to stop in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Just stand for a moment.